Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. This is God's word. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." The woman, folly, is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of the grave." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Once a month, I have the mentors up at my home on Sunday night, generally the first Sunday of the month, and typically we have dessert at the conclusion of our time together. And typically, our dessert consists of two choices of pie. I typically will have a pecan pie as one of the options. And then the other option might be lemon meringue, might be banana cream, coconut, any number of delicious things. But I know you've already had a good breakfast, so that doesn't make you hungry. But I am an unpleasant host who says to his guests, "No, you may not have a little slice of each. You have to choose. You need to choose whether you want this kind of pie or this kind of pie." And people who've come to my house many times will tell you, he's not making this up. He really is that screwy. I mentioned this to some of my relatives. They were appalled. "Why in the world would you do that? The great pleasure is in having a little bit of both." There's a reason. And that is because we live in a world where people don't understand that if you say yes to this, you're saying no to this. We live in a society where people think, "I can have it all. I can have it both ways. I can say yes to God and no. I don't want to say no. I'll say yes to God and yes to sin. That's the society we live in. That's the culture in our churches. That's the attitude of people everywhere. But what we find again in Proverbs chapter 9 is you've got two options. One choice. You're going to say yes, which means no. Or are you going to say yes, which means no? You've got to learn to make choices. We need to remind ourselves that every time you say yes in life, with it come a bunch of no's. In 1975, back in the previous millennium, I joyfully, with gratitude to God, said yes to my wife. Standing before my father as a pastor, standing before a congregation of witnesses, I gave my life to be a husband to my wife. That means, with that, forsaking all others. Doesn't mean I think my wife is the only attractive woman on the planet. It just means that how attractive other women are is irrelevant. I'm married. I have a wife. I am grateful. But when you say yes, you're saying no. If you say, well, I'd like to keep my options open. I'd like to play the field. Guess what you're saying no to? This beautiful woman who is not willing to just be one of the options. You can't have it both ways. In the middle of this discussion of wisdom versus folly, I want you to see verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's what wisdom is all about. But look back in the previous chapter at verse 13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. The fear of the Lord doesn't just mean you love what is good. It means you love what is good and you hate what is evil. We live in a culture where we're not supposed to hate anything. We're not supposed to disapprove of anything. We're not supposed to look down on anything. We're supposed to think that everything is fine and whatever pleases you is that's wonderful. Okay? In this chapter, we have a picture of the reality of what is going on every day in our culture and every place else on the planet. People are being invited to choose wisdom or folly.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out His hand.
Wisdom says, you who are simple, come here. Come. I have a feast for you. I have prepared good things for you. Come. It's not, you know, if you can afford it, if you're smart enough. No, if you're simple, okay? If you're in need, come, receive. But you know what folly is saying? The exact same thing. Come, you who are simple, come. Come in here. Look, it's the same words used. That's deliberate. Verse 4, here's wisdom saying, let all who are simple come in here. What is folly saying? Verse 16, let all who are simple come in here. Next phrase of both, she says to those who lack judgment. So, if you lack judgment, if you don't know which way to go, if you aren't sure, wisdom says, come, I'll teach you. Folly says, come, I've got something for you. Here's the thing. If the simple enter into wisdom, they're not going to be simple anymore. They're going to become wise. Wisdom offers you what you need to change. Folly says, you don't need to change. I think you're beautiful just the way you are. Just be true to yourself. Just do what comes naturally. If you listen to folly, you'll be destroyed. Because these two options, one of them brings life. One of them brings death. Those are your options. God says, behold, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Which do you want?
I think I want life.
Good choice! You don't have to be brilliant. You can be simple. You'll become wise. But the way to receive life is that you choose. You choose. And it is only by God's grace that we have that choice. God is offering to you this day a choice. God is offering you the potential to do the right thing. He has set before you life and death. What are you going to choose?
I'd like a little bit of both. Just a little. I don't want a lot of folly.
Some years ago, there was a vapid song out there called Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Some of you are old enough to remember that from your childhood. Actually, guys just want to have fun too. I mean, actually, doesn't everybody just want to have fun? But the picture of what constitutes fun leads to death. It leads to death. I said it the other day. You jump out of a 50-story building and 10 floors down, you're just having fun. It's that sudden stop at the bottom that gets you. And I'm telling you something. It hasn't changed in thousands of years. It's still the same process. It's still the same outcome. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's all about knowing God. It's all about believing what He says, embracing His truth, saying, yes, this may not look fun, but as Stephen Curtis Chapman said so long ago, this is the great adventure. If you think following Jesus Christ is going to be boring,
I'm just going to have to sit around all the time taking harp lessons. No! It's exciting. It's wonderful. It's glorious. There is peace and joy. Joy beyond what you'll find anywhere else. This is a banquet that wisdom has prepared. You understand that? It's not, you know, come inside and I don't offer pecan versus rat food, okay? The things at my house, either choice, turns out to be delicious. But in life, you got a choice between something that satisfies and something that can't. You got a choice between something that makes you stronger and something that makes you weaker. You got a choice between something that you can actually share with others for their benefit or something that you go off and, as it says here, eat in secret. Because you know better. What we're being offered is a choice between life and death. What are you going to choose? So I don't really want to choose. You have to. Every day. Every day, you are choosing between life and death. And so not only do we see in this passage that there are two choices, we see there are two kinds of people. You see the wise person who has chosen wisdom, and you see the mocker who chooses folly. And if you try to correct a mocker, if you try to help them change, if you tell them, hey, that's not right, what does it say they'll do? Whoever corrects a mocker, verse 7, invites insult, and whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Don't rebuke a mocker or he'll hate you. I had a telephone conversation earlier this week with a fella who is a former missionary. He went to another country to tell people about Jesus. But he has some real struggles. And he decided instead of doing what God's word says, he was going to do what his fleshly desires, which wage war against the soul, say. He's now chosen to be in a same-sex relationship. And he's hoping to marry his boyfriend next year. Called me because he wanted to talk about some things that were troubling him. He doesn't understand why people who were his friends and supported him when he was a missionary are now not treating him the same since he had the integrity to admit that he's a homosexual. So I said to him, if this fellow who you really care about came out of the closet and told you he's a racist, that he believes white people are superior, and that he's going to pursue a lifestyle of being a white supremacist, would you say, well, you know, the important thing is that you're true to your own feelings? Or would you say, no, that's wrong. If you have thoughts and feelings like that, you need to realize those thoughts, those feelings are contrary to God's word. I know nobody in here has ever encountered racism, but I have, okay? I had people who literally, sincerely wanted to kill me because of my stand against racism. So I know that racism exists in this country. Because even as a white man, if you stand against racism, it can cost you a lot. You know what? When I asked him that question, he wouldn't answer. He said, I see what you're inferring. I'm not going to go there. And I said, well, just answer the question. And he said, no, I won't. Because you see, what he's saying is, if I want to follow my sinful desires, everybody's supposed to support me.
But of course I would not support someone I cared about in following sinful desires that I disapprove of. If you're a relativist and you think everybody ought to just do what feels right to them, you going to feel that way when they steal your bicycle? You going to say, oh, well done, when they take off with your car? When they break your car window and steal your laptop, you going to say, oh, clever. No. All of a sudden, there's this moral outrage. How dare you? When some psycho comes into the movie theater where you were just having a wonderful time watching something and starts shooting up the place, you're going to say, oh, well, I guess he's got a different value system than mine. Of course not. The people who say nobody has the right to say what's right and wrong have just violated their code. How can you say no one has that right? You've just made a declarative judgment that is absolute in nature. It is insanity. It is dishonesty. It is hypocrisy. God's word tells us that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And the reason we've got so much evil and corruption of all kinds in our society is because the natural state of the human heart is to be at enmity against God. And that means, as I said to the fellow who called me on the phone, you've got the same enemy I do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you and I may not have the same desires when it comes to temptation, but you've got to say no to the temptations you face, just as I have to say no to the temptations I face. You can sit around saying, well, you don't know what it's like. Well, you don't either. You don't know what I have to deal with. No, and you don't know what I have to deal with. But I'm not condemning you. I'm calling you to come and receive life. Come and receive wisdom. Come and receive the blessing of God. You can be forgiven for whatever you have done. But the only way that we could be forgiven was for Jesus to die on that cross. Because what we've done is horrible. Stop acting as if your particular sin isn't really a sin. It's not really a problem. It's the way I am. The way you are is sinful. You need a Savior just like me. Our only hope is Jesus. The fact that he died on the cross to save us. There is no other option that leads to life. It's not about believing intellectually. It's not about having enough information. It's about trusting in him and yielding your life to him. Saying, God, please save me, change me, transform me. But to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Listen again to what wisdom says in verses 11 and 12. For through me your days will be many and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you'll suffer alone. You'll suffer alone. Please understand that. I've heard the foolish people saying, boy, there's going to be some kind of party down in hell. No, there won't. Nobody's going to be celebrating. Nobody's going to be celebrating in hell. The devil is not going to be going around in hell tormenting other people. The devil is going to be destroyed in hell. But those who followed him will be destroyed with him. Behold, God says, I set before you life and death. Choose life.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearesvalleyranch.org.